Elohim Tov.
All right. I hope you heard the whole crowd. <Let's> go. All right, we have the Bible study. Only person knows about this Bible study is Sean, and he is, I mean, Dominique, and he is in Hawaii. You got to laugh. I keep calling him Sean. Call his wife Dominique and call him Sean.
Ooh.
But it was just a habit because, I mean, people call Drea Sandy. They call me Andre.
No.
Because they figure I can't be Sandy. So
not that big old
so
boy.
I must
man.
Be Andre and she must be. Nope. You can blame my parents.
Oh,
that.
Lord, and the mic is unplugged. Thank you. The mic is yours is fine.
Who said the mic was unplugged? The somebody mic, online?
Somebody online. Who was that? Saint Jason. Thank you.
Oh, good.
Oh, man. Thank God for our online members. Hallelujah. All right, we plug in now.
Did they hear Elohim Tov first?
Oh, they can hear you, but it sounds like you're like in a...
Oh, okay, good. Wow. Welcome. Sorry, Pastor Ben just got back from vacation. But he's getting back in the groove. Okay, the only person who knows about this Bible study is Dominique in Hawaii. And I want to take this opportunity to say... thank you to Dominique and Sean, and I want to thank Craig for making me the great coffees out there.
Was that the bomb?
Those are the best coffees ever.
My
and then and the wives, the two pregnant wives.
Sean for the prime rib. I've never had prime rib.
Yeah. Huh?
Sean for the prime rib.
Yeah, and Dakota for taking the boys out and having a good time that day too. That was a blessing. But anyway, they are incredible family. I just thank them for everything they did for us. Me and my wife renewed our wedding vows for a 25th year. Thank you for all the congratulations. I was thoroughly surprised that I was getting married that day. Because my wife, like usual, she didn't tell me, right? I just got there thinking she brought me a nice white linen suit. I was like, I'm gonna be fly. She's like, no, you're getting married. So it was beautiful though.
Everyone saying welcome back.
Okay, thank you, thank you. And I have a doozy for you. And so pray that Pastor Sandy teaches this correctly, okay?
Amen.
The Bible is a incredible, fascinating book. And the depths of it, we will never figure out in this lifetime. I just don't think so. We'll get to that. Okay, so tonight I have to teach you before we can get to the message. So I have to teach you a couple things. And how God set this up. You understand? So God is like, when Jesus came into the world, he was born on tabernacle, okay? What does the word tabernacle mean? To live amongst you, right? So Jesus was born in the week of tabernacle because he came down to tabernacle with us, okay? But how many of you understand that we are also have an appointment to go up and tabernacle? And that's what the Lord was showing me while I was on the plane on my way to Hawaii. It's like the church is being set up to come up and tabernacle with me. Jesus has already come down and tabernacled amongst us. Mm-hmm. And the next time Jesus comes all the way down to the earth, he's not only coming to tabernacle amongst us, he's coming to reign and to rule, okay? Because he will be king over the earth for 1,000 years. So you will know what it's like to have a real good leader over the earth, okay? But God says, poetically, he set it up that we're going to go up and tabernacle, because he says that you may be where I am. You understand? Mm-hmm. He says, in my Father's house, if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And I will come again and perlambano, right? Take you up to be a friend, a companion with me. So we're going up to tabernacle with God. Okay? He set this whole thing up into the scriptures beautifully so that you can see what he's doing. Okay? So I have to explain this portion to you. Like the number 17 in the Bible, right? If you had a calculator and you went 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 5 plus 7 plus 8 plus 9 plus 10 all the way to 17, it would equal 153, which is the number for the sons of God or the 153 fish. It stands for the righteous believers, okay? The sons of God, the B'nai Hai Elohim. But the number 17 is completely linked to 153 because the 153 is the sons of God. So the number 17, when you go 1 plus 2 plus 3 all the way to 17, it gives you 153 because that is the number of the sons of God. Okay? The B'nai Hai Elohim. So we have a letter that God used when he created Eve. And what letter was that? Samech. I'm sorry, I know you guys aren't Hebrew students, but you have to learn this tonight because it's very important, okay? So Samech is a letter, it's the 15th letter of the alphabet, okay? And this 15th letter, written in full, because all the letters can be written in full or just the symbol itself. But written in full, the letter Samech spelled out is 120, okay? But it is the 15th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, so let's go over to the board for a minute, okay? Now, in the Hebrew alphabet, this is the letter Samech. And this word Samech right here, which equals 120, it means support, helpmate. Okay, so when God made Eve, it was the first time he had used this letter because now he was giving man a helpmate. Okay, so Samech, the 15th letter, has a numerical gematria of 120, okay? And that's in its fullness. By itself is 60, but we'll get to that another time. Now, did I bring that other, hand me that other Bible in there, Pastor Ben. I may show you something if I can't explain it well enough. Okay, now listen. Now, when you're in a Hebrew Bible, right? And you have the first verse, it would be Aleph. Okay, the first chapter would be Aleph, which is one. Bet, which is two. Okay, Gamel, which is three. Okay, when it gets to 15, it shows you this letter, Samech. Because remember, Hebrew don't have numbers. Their letters are their numbers. Okay, so when you get to 15, you see this letter, right? You would see a Samech, but they wouldn't write it like this. They would write it like this: a 10, which is Yod, and a Hey, which is 5, would equal 15. So when you got to the 15th chapter of every book in Hebrew, when you get to the 15th chapter, it would have Yod and Hey, right? But we have a problem. They're not allowed to write this name because it's the sacred name of God, right? So instead of writing Yod and Hey because they would get in trouble, they write Vav and Tav, which is a 6 and a 9, okay? So so the thing is that God is still showing them this letter is still going to be completely connected to salvation, which is 6, and 9, which is judgment. So 15 represents 9 and a 6, which is salvation and judgment, right? Because on this time, at this time, in the 120th year, you're going to have judgment and you're going to have salvation, and it's both going to happen in the same year. The church will be taken up for salvation. The world will be judged. Do you understand? So you have to understand that God gave them a number that, it, okay, I know you can't write Yah, which would be grace, perfect order of grace, which will end when this happens, judgment and salvation, right? So this day is coming. The numerical value for this letter is 15. 15 equals 120, because all judgments occur when? In the 120th year, okay? Moses died when? When he was 120, right? That was his judgment. Eve sinned, and the Semech introduced her. So the 120 for Eve, Eve represents the first 120 gematria, and she brought forth the first judgment on the earth. Then Moses, no, after Eve came who? Noah and the ark. I will not dwell amongst you forever. Your days shall be 120 years. So after 120 years, the judgment of the flood came upon the earth. So this is two times that God is using the numerical value of 120 to bring forth judgment. Then Moses dies at 120, but he disobeyed God. So the judgment didn't come on him when he disobeyed. God waited till he was 120, then judgment came. Okay, so each time in scripture, and we could keep going through them and going through them, but God wanted to show me that not only is 120 has a root, and the root of 120 is this number, 15. So the Lord's like, I want to show you all of the 15s in the Bible to show you that I was putting it in this number to let you know that a judgment is going to come. OK, so the first thing we need to study is Hezekiah, which is the name of my new grandniece. Right. They had the baby, Pastor Ben.
Octavia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Uh-huh. And her name is Hezekiah. So this is dedicated to Hezekiah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to go to the book of 2 Kings. You guys are going to love this. We're going to go to the book of 2 Kings. And here I go again, Pastor Ben. Hand me my glasses now. Side pocket. That other side. Yep. Just hand them to me. Unplug that.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So when you get to Hezekiah, I mean, when you get to Kings, 2 Kings chapter 20, I want you to see something. Here we go. You there? Okay. It says, in those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and wholeheartedly devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Now Hezekiah was a great king. He was very obedient to God. He got rid of all of the altars. He made sure that the people got turned back to God. Okay, Hezekiah was a great king. So he's asking God, I want to live, okay? He says, before Isaiah, the prophet, had left the middle of the court, the word of the Lord came to him. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God, your father David says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hands of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. You hear that? So, how many more years is he going to give Hezekiah on his life?
15.
So he's going to receive 15 more years before he dies now. You understand? Now, Hezekiah was really thankful for what the Lord had done for him. And here, let's continue reading down, because it says, here we go. Yeah, we got to read this. In verse 7, it says, then Isaiah said, prepare a poultice of figs. They did so and applied it to the boils, and he recovered. Hezekiah had asked Isaiah, what will be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I will go up to the temple of the Lord on the third day? You hear that? So he said, not only am I going to heal you and give you 15 more years, but at the end of this, you're going to go up to the temple of the Lord. Okay. But he's saying you're going to do this on the third day. So on the third day after this, Hezekiah is going to go up and visit with the Lord in the temple. Okay. So he says, I'm going to heal you on the third day. You're going up. Understand what's being said here. Okay. So now, he says, Isaiah answered him, this is the sign, this is the Lord's sign to you, that the Lord will do what he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps, or shall it go back 10 steps? He said, it is a simple matter for the shadow to go forward 10 steps, said Hezekiah. Rather, have it go back 10 steps. Then the prophet Isaiah called upon the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow go back 10 steps. It had gone down on the staircase of Ahaz. Okay. So now on this staircase, now remember, the light had gone down 15 steps. Okay. 10 steps. Hezekiah said, bring it back up 10 steps to prove to me that you're going to give me 15 more years and extend my life. So he brings the shadow of the sun back up 10 degrees. Okay. Now this caused a problem in the whole world.
Yeah.
Because once he did this, the year was no longer 360 day years. It became 365.2422, which is the measurement of the base of the pyramid that was built way before this. So whoever built the pyramid knew that God was going to do this. Okay. But now we have a situation here. Hezekiah is not going to be judged. He says, now I'm going to wait 15. And then at the end of your 15, this leader of the Jews is going to get, then he will die. And then, so did Moses waited what? 120 years before he died, right? Hezekiah is going to wait what? 15 years till he died. But remember, this is the same as this, just a different prophecy. You understand? So this 15 years is kind of like saying you're a typology of Moses, but I can't use 120 years. But I'm going to give you 15 because he knows that the gematria of the Semet is 120. So it'll be kind of like the same thing. You understand? So the 15 becomes another state of judgment. Okay. Now, at the end of this 15, he will go up the end of the third day. He will go up and see the Lord. Now, I need us to go to Isaiah chapter 38, because Hezekiah was really thankful. And he wanted to do something for the Lord. And so this is what Hezekiah did. If you're in Isaiah chapter 38, it's the same story. Hezekiah became ill, right? And then Isaiah goes to him. And then God says, I'm going to give you more time. And then he tells him it's going to be 15 more years. Okay. And then, but in verse 9, check this out. It says, a writing of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, after the illness recovery. I said, in the prime of my life, must I go through the gates of death and be robbed of the rest of my years? And I said, I will again see the Lord, in the land of the living. So he begins writing this song, okay? A matter of fact, Hezekiah writes 15, well, actually, he writes 13 songs, okay? And these songs are called the songs of ascent. What does that mean? Of going up, okay? Because he knows after the third day, he's going up to the Lord, right? So now, Hezekiah decides he's going to write 13 psalms, and then he takes one psalm from David, and he takes one psalm from Solomon, and he adds them to the 13 that he wrote, and they print them, and they put them in the book of Psalms, and it starts at Psalms 120, okay? Because 120 is the year of what? Of going up, okay? So, the rapture scenario that Hezekiah writes about, see, because this is what Ryan asked me. I was looking in the book of Psalms, and I saw the Psalm of Ascent started at 120. I said, yes. He says, the next 15 Psalms are the Psalm of Ascent. I said, yes, you're absolutely right. He says, why are there 15? And I said, well, 15 is 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5, all the way to 15 is 120. And he says, wow, okay. But the Lord wanted me to know, no, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. What I'm telling you is that in these 15 Psalms are representing what the priests are going to do every year. So after he does this, he writes these 15 songs. Every year during the Feast of Tabernacle, all of the priests take the 15 steps to go up to the temple so they can be in the presence of God. So as they're going up this step, each step they sing one of Hezekiah's songs. Then they take the next step, they sing the second song of Hezekiah, until they sing all 15, and by the end of the 15, they're in the presence of God. You understand? On the third day, Hezekiah went up these same 15 stairs and sang these same 15 songs. And then, and the 15, he was in the presence of God on the third day. Is that a prophecy about the church or what? Because 15 equals what? The 120. This is this. He's trying to tell us he's made in the scripture, a prophecy that we will go up and tabernacle with God in the 120. So 120 is the date of destination, or 2020 is the year, date of destination for the earth to go up and to be with God, those who love him. Okay. So God was like, okay, look, I want to show you that this is prevalent in scripture. Okay, so let's go to Genesis chapter 7. If you haven't said wow yet, that means you have to go back and watch the rest. But we haven't even got to all of this. because my wife just got here, so you missed the intro. You missed the intro. All right. Now, are you in Genesis chapter 7, verse 20? Okay. Now, I'm not gonna read verse 20. I'm gonna start reading at verse 17. It said, "Now the flood was upon the earth for 40 days, and the waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose above the earth. The water prevailed greatly, increased on the earth, and the ark moved above the surface of the water, and the water prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the hills under the whole heaven were covered. The water prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered." So the flood gives you the number 15. Why? Because there's a judgment and there's a salvation happening. So God put this same numerical value of 15 in the flood, because as the boat goes up,
wow.
And he says it went up 15 cubits high, and then that covered the whole earth after it went up 15. And now the judgment was completely over. But it uses the number 15 because the year of judgment and salvation is still 120. Because 15 is the 120. Okay? So now let's go to the book of Esther, chapter 9. And we're going to be 9, and I think we'll read a verse 18. Okay. Now, they're trying to destroy the Jews, but the Jews are, you know, so it says here in verse 18, "But the Jews were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day, as well as on the 14th day. And on the 15th day of the month, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness." Why did they make it a day of feasting and gladness? Because they were celebrating Purim. What did Purim do for the Jews? It saved them, because Haman had a plot to kill all of the Jews. So they waited on the 13th, on the 14th, but on the 15th, all of their enemies were destroyed. So they were able to relax and rest, but not till what day? 15th. On the 15th day is when they got to celebrate and enjoy. Understand? Because the 15 represents what? The 120. The 15th letter is representing the 120. It's always going to be the same thing. Salvation. Okay, let's go to John chapter 9, verse 18. You at 9? Verse 18 in the Gospel of John. You get there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, it says, "But the Jews did not believe concerning him." This whole thing has to be read. Let me see. Because this whole thing is about, I believe, Lazarus. Is this it? I got to be in the right spot. 9, 18. Okay. See, that's not reading right. Because it says, "Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, 15 furlongs away." Okay. And am I there, or should it be further down? And is this even about Lazarus?
No.
No. Where's Lazarus? Okay, here it is. It's in 11, chapter 11. So, and let's see if it's at 18. Okay. Well, I'm going to read this. Okay. So, here we are, and it says, Lazarus is sick, right? And Jesus is supposed to go there and heal Lazarus. But Lazarus, where Lazarus is 15 furlongs away from where Jesus is, okay? So, in this story, as you're reading it, because I wrote down the wrong scripture, but in this story in John, as he's on his way, he's trying to let them know that Lazarus will be okay, because the sisters worried that he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus walks the whole 15 furlongs, and then he says, I am the resurrection and the life. But Lazarus doesn't get raised until he walks the full 15 furlongs, okay? Because the salvation is going to come at the 15. You understand? So God is trying to show you that 15 is always linked to this year of the 120, okay? Now, the Lord says, now go to Acts chapter 27. And I hope I put this one in right. Acts.
Man, that's deep.
Okay. You're in Acts chapter 27. So the Lord was showing me this date is solid.
Yeah, it is.
It's been solidified with the 120, and it's been solidified with the number 15, all through scripture. Okay? So Acts chapter 27, you there?
Yeah.
And let's go to verse 28, I believe. Yep.
That's some good stuff.
It says, and they took, okay, I'm going to start reading verse 27. It says, now when the 14th night had come, we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea. I did a whole study on this. I should pull it up. About midnight, and the sailors sensed that they were drawing near to some land. And they took, soundings and found that it was 20 fathoms, And when they had gone a little further, they took sounding again, and it was 15 fathoms. Okay? Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rock, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under the pretense of putting out an anchor for the prow, Paul said to the centurions and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. You understand? Then the soldiers cut away the rope of the skiff and let it fall off. So on the 15th day, they were looking to abandon ship. But Paul let them know, no, stay on the ship, because if you don't stay on the ship, on the 15th day, you will not get salvation. I can't save you unless you stay on the ship. Okay? So this also had to do with 15. Now, when is the Feast of Tabernacles? Rosh Hashanah is on the first day of Tishri. Mm-hmm. On the 10th day is what? Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
On the 15th day is what? Feast of Tabernacles. So God solidified that the 15th is what? What do you do on the Feast of Tabernacles? You celebrate and you party for 7 days, and then you'd have an additional party on the 8th day. But on the 15th of Tabernacles, Every nation in the world has to go to Jerusalem and celebrate Jesus' birthday. Because on the 15th is the time of what? Of rejoicing. So God is trying to show Samech is always linked to the 120. Okay? So all of these examples of 15 that are in Scripture are showing you one thing, that salvation is always going to come at the 15th. The same as salvation always comes at the 120, okay? Because it's the same thing. So God is saying the day of salvation has already been locked in, okay? The 120-year segment is the Samech. It is the 15th letter. This is why the flood happened at what? 120. This is why Moses dies. 120. This is why Samson pushes away the pillars, which equals 120. And once he pushed the pillars out, then judgment came down. But also what happened when he pushed the pillars out? Because the pillars has the same numerical value as what? The congregation. Yeah. So when the congregations are is pushed out, then judgment will fall, but not until the congregation is pushed out of the world. Yeah. Now, I need to show us one more thing. Okay. Here we go. What I'm trying to do is to tell people you need to be ready. Right. Because when this time happens, the date is already set. The year is already set. We'll do that tomorrow morning in class, because I was going to do the 5777 and 5777, and they measure out perfectly because of what? Someone said, oh, it's only 4 years. No, it's, and then the other 577, they said, oh, it's 5 years, but they're forgetting it was 360 days at one time, right. And now it's 365, and the flood didn't happen at the end of the year. The flood happened in the second month of the fifth year. Right. Okay? So understand, God is doing everything. As Jesus said, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. It's going to be the exact same thing happen. It will be after 120, which we started the 120 count in the year 1900. And now we're at 2020. We're in the 120th year. Now, in this year, you've got this virus going that they arrested the guy for the virus. Oh, did you guys know that? They arrested the guy who was secretly working with the Chinese government to create the coronavirus. No. His name, oh my goodness, I can't think of his name right now. But they arrested him. Yes, he's linked with, guess who? The Gates.
No.
Bill, and yes. They paid for his other lab here in the United States. So this coronavirus was a man-made virus, and they arrested the guy who'd been working with them. And guess where his lab was? Where's the place at in China? Wuhan or something like that? The same place where the virus started, that's where his lab was.
For real?
Yeah. So understand, what he's doing is a small part of what the tribulation people will see. And we have this peace plan that they're trying to push through, right? But it won't happen until the church leaves. You understand? Right. But all of this is happening when the 120th year is about to happen in what? March 26th is the beginning of the 126th year, right? I mean, the 120th year. Okay. Wow. I want you, then God had me read this from the book of Jasher. So I hope you guys have a little patience, but I think you'll find this very interesting. Okay?
They caught the guy.
They arrested him. Crazy. So I hope he sings like a bird.
Oh,
Okay.
Because there's a lot of people involved in creating that virus.
They're going to kill him.
A lot of money. Yeah, he's going to do an Epstein on us. Okay. So now, the flood is about to begin, right? And God says, the flood's about to begin. Noah, you and your family, get into the boat, right? So, this is the book of Jasher, chapter 70, 78, and 79, okay? The book of Jasher is mentioned in the Bible, so don't say the book of Jasher is not whatever, okay? If God mentioned it in his word, I'm going to read it, okay? So, I want you to read Jasher, I want you to hear Jasher's account of Noah's, of what was going on at the time of Noah, okay? Now, it says, two and two came to Noah into the ark. But from the clean animals and the clean and foul brought seven couples. And God had commanded. And all the animals and beasts and fowls were still there, and they surrounded the ark every place. But the rain had not descended till the seventh day. Remember, he told them to go into the ark, and then after the seventh day is when he closed the door, right? So now, it says, and on that day the Lord caused the whole earth to shake. So at the beginning of the seventh day, God caused the whole earth to shake, and the sun darkened, and the foundations of the world raged. And the whole earth was moved violently, and lightning flashed, and thunder roared, and all the fountains of the earth were broken up, such as was not known to the inhabitants before. And God did this mighty act in order to terrify the sons of men, that there might be no more evil on the earth. He did this hoping, yeah, I'll grab some. I got one right here. As he did this 7 days before it starts raining to see if these people would repent.
Wow.
Okay. Hoping that, okay, if an earthquake happens and the sun darkens and all of this stuff happens and they see these signs, maybe they'll repent. Okay. And then he says this. Okay. And it says, and still the sons of men would not return from their evil ways. And they increased the anger of the Lord at that time and did not even direct their hearts to all this. And at the end of the 7 days, remember, they went on the boat 7 days before, right? But it had not started raining yet. But now he says, at the end of the seventh day, in the 600th year of Noah's life, the waters of the flood were open on the earth, and all the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And Noah and his household and all the living creatures that were with him came into the ark on account of the water of the flood, and the Lord shut him in. All the sons of men that were left upon the earth became exhausted through evil on the account of the rain, for the waters were coming more violently upon the earth, and the animals and the beasts were still surrounding the ark. And it says, and the sons of men assembled together 700,000 men and women, and they came to Noah to the ark, and they called to Noah, open for us that we may come too in the ark. Wherefore, he said, or we will die. Noah with a loud voice answered them from the ark, saying, have you not all rebelled against the Lord and said that he does not exist? And therefore the Lord brought upon you this evil to destroy and cut you off of the face of the earth? Is not this the thing I spoke to you? I spoke to you of 120 years back, and you would not hearken to the voice of the Lord, and now you desire to live upon, and now you desire to live upon the earth? It says, and they said to Noah, we are ready to return to the Lord. Only open for us that we may live and not die. And Noah answered them, saying, behold, now that you see the trouble of your soul, you wish to return to the Lord. Why did you not return during the 120 years which the Lord granted you as a determined period? But now you come and tell me this on account of the trouble of your soul. Now also the Lord will not listen to you, neither will he give ear to you on this day, so that you will not now succeed in your wish. And the sons of men approached in order to break into the ark, to come in on the account of the rain, for they could not bear the rain upon them. And the Lord sent all the beasts and the animals and stood around the ark, and the beasts overpowered them and drove them from the place. And every man went his way, and they again scattered themselves upon the face of the earth. And the rain was still descending upon the earth, and it descended for 40 days and for 40 nights.
Wow.
And the Lord said, now read this part. And he said, this is how it's about to be. He said, because I've given you 120 years. The apostles came to Jesus and they said, what will be the sign of the end and of your coming? Jesus immediately said, first of all, do not be deceived. Then he started talking about there will be wars and rumors of wars, right? Then he said, nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. Jesus prophesied, then a world war will come. When did the world war come? 1914, right? So Jesus immediately starts talking directly about what's going to happen in the 1900s. Then he gets toward the end and he says, when you see this, the fig tree, he says, know that is right at the door when you see that, okay? So Jesus' whole speech to them was directed about the 1900s, okay? Pestilence, the disease, the flu that killed over 2 million people in 1918, okay? All of these things in Psalms. Now God gives us a book. And in the book, from Psalms 1 to Psalms 120, God systematically prophesies every event, 1901, 1902, 1903, 1904, 1905, 1906, 1907, they made a deal with Russia, right? The Jews, thinking that the communists was trying to help them, and the communists deceived them. So Russia deceived them, okay? Then it goes on to 1908. Then in 1917, the Balfour Accords and the planes flying over, it gives you a full prophecy of that. And then in 1914, it tells you that this guy comes and says, there's no God.
Yeah.
And God writes it down and says, okay, this guy is a fool because he says there's no God. Then God goes all the way to 1956, Psalms 56, and it says the fool has said that there's no God. Why? Because he died in that year. Yeah. Then you go 1991, and when God protected them with the war that was in Iraq. And so every year God is prophesying in Psalms, telling you this is going to happen this year. This is going to happen this year. The tsunami that was in December 26, 2004, it's in Psalms 104. So everything has been prophesied book after book after book. And God said, now, I prayed in 2016. Because remember, I was done with this, Pastor.
I remember.
I said, I'm going to fast and pray for 7 days. Okay? Because the Lord was telling me, get back to teaching people to get ready because I'm coming. So this is what I do. I fast for 7 days, seven nights. And at the end of the 7 days, I ask God, okay, now what do you want me to do? And I said, and the Lord answered, he said, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. That's all the Lord said to me. It will be as it was in the days of Noah. Well, 2017 is the 6,000th year, and that includes 120 Jubilees. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, oh, it must be 2017 because God is saying it will be as it was in the days of Noah. 2017 is the 120th Jubilee, and it's the year 2017. And the flood happened on the 17th, so this must be the year that is going to happen. God was saying, look, this is not it. What it is I've counted. I didn't give Noah 120 Jubilees. Jesus says it will be as it was. The word kemo in Hebrew means exactly, okay? It's not one of those words that says, or it's going to be kind of like, okay? It's like exactly what happened then is going to happen now, okay? So God started a 120 year count that we could, and now we're in this year, 120th year, right? We have a destination and a date with God for 120 years. So he doesn't just do it with the flood. He shows it to you with Moses. Then he shows it to you with Samson. Okay. Who else? But the 120 is out through our scripture. So he's showing us you're in the year, you're in the time. Okay. Why did God use the 19th century? Who started this whole thing? Eve. What's the numerical value of Eve's name? 19. So also it's the same numerical value for the word earth in Greek. So earth and Eve have the same numerical value, which is 19. Jesus directs us right to the 19th century to let us know this is about to happen. Because that's where it begins. Okay. Now, I want us to go to John chapter 21 and we'll finish up on here.
Wow. I finally clicked. Wow.
John chapter 21.
Wow.
Now, I'm on the plane and God is showing me this, Pastor Ben. And I'm trying to explain it to Dominic. And I'm like, Dominic, the Lord's showing me all of this. Are you in John?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 2.
Hey, that's
deep, man. What's deeper is I found them now.
Ah,
that's not that deep anymore. Okay. Now, when was Hezekiah going to go up and see the Lord? On the third day, right? So now in chapter 2, it says this, because the Bible's consistent. John chapter 2. Boy. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. It says, now both Jesus and the disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servant, whatever he says to do, do it. Now there were set 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons. 20 times 6 is what? 120. Now it says 20 or 30, right? So it says, and Jesus said to them, fill up the water of the with water, and they filled them up to the brim, and he said to them, draw, and of course we know the miracle of the wine, right? When does the wedding happen? There's a wedding in Cana. Jesus' mother is going to be there. It's on the third day. In Exodus chapter, I think it's 19, is the whole scenario of telling the Jews, go and wait. For how long? Because on the third day, I'm going to come down and we're going to be married, right? Because they had accepted the covenant. Are we on the third day? Yes. That means you would have to be past 2,000 years of Jesus being gone. 2017 marked the early day of the third day. So it's 2017. Now you're in 2018, 2019. This is early part counting on the third day. So you're in the morning. You're on the 120th. They have a peace plan. We've already had the blood moons. I'm just hoping that God, I don't know if God, because I know what happens with human beings. Because if God said, okay, to the church, 7 days and this is going to happen. And God caused a great earthquake around the world, right? And the sky got dark, okay? And lightning happened. On the third day, when there's no more earthquake and the sky is clear,
right back to where they were.
You know what people do? Yep. They go right back to sinning, right? So it will be as it was in the days of Noah, okay? The measurement of the 120 years should be clear. We can look at it and continue to look at it, but what we need to do is say, are we now prepared? Because I don't want to be the group hanging outside of the ark. You understand? Mm-hmm. And that's what the Lord wanted me. We're going to look at the, tomorrow in our Hebrew class, we're going to look at the Psalms, 1900 to 1941, then 1942 to 1972, 1973 to 1989, because they're written in segments, 1990 to 2006, and then Deuteronomy, which is Psalms 107 to Psalms 119, and then in the 120th starts the Psalm of Ascent, okay? Because every year, after Hezekiah received 15 more years, every year they go to the temple, they go up 15 stairs, and they sing the song till they get to the 15th stair, and then now they're in the Feast of Tabernacle, and they're tabernacle in the presence of God. And God said, 15 is directly connected to the 120 years, because it's the 15th letter and the numerical value is 120. Okay, that's it. That's it right. For tonight.
All right,
see you in the morning.
Somebody's coming down with a cold.